The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. Welcome back. Assuming you're back, maybe you've never been here before. If so, welcome in. Where you been? Okay. So today we're on lesson 10, which is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I think this is going to be eye-opening for a lot of us because we don't necessarily think about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I'm hoping to kind of focus in on that today. All right, let's open up with a word of prayer. God, thanks. We love you. You're so good to us. God, open our hearts. Let us hear what you have to say. I pray the Holy Spirit would make us attentive to the tremendous ministry that He has in our lives. Thanks, God. Thanks. We love you. In your name, amen. So let me start you off with a question. Who's the Holy Spirit? Oh, I forgot to read the creed again. You've heard it a million times by now. Who is the Holy Spirit? Look, not what does the Holy Spirit do? We'll talk about that in a little while. But who is He? That's actually a more difficult question than it should be. If I ask you to describe God the Father, most of you could. If I ask you to describe Jesus, God the Son, you probably could. But mention the Holy Spirit and suddenly people get nervous. You know, they start thinking about emotional worship services where people are swinging from the chandeliers and they're speaking in tongues. And okay, others think about miracles. I've been in some of those. Not chandelier services, but I had a friend who was youth pastor at a church in San Diego, and he had a Baptist friend who was scared to death of walking into the Assembly of God church that my friend was youth pastor at. He said, because he just knew that if he got in there, the Holy Spirit would make him flop around on the floor like a fish or something. So my friend took him, they had to go back to his office, and he had to walk through the sanctuary. And as he's walking through the sanctuary, my friend looked at him and said, be careful, right there is where the rolling on the floor starts. And the guy looked at it. My buddy said, no, come on, man. Look, sometimes when we think about the Holy Spirit, we hope that maybe the pastor won't talk about it very much, so it won't complicate our little minds. And that's unfortunate, because the Holy Spirit isn't some optional part of the Christian life. He isn't an advanced course in Christianity. He isn't reserved for super Christians. The Holy Spirit is God. He's God. According to the Apostles' Creed, believing in Him is just as essential as believing in the Father and the Son. The Creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Only four words. But man, do they change everything. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Years ago, I heard a little boy whose Sunday school teacher asked the class, where is God? One little girl raised her hand and said, He's in heaven. Little boy said, He's everywhere. And one little guy answered very confidently, He's at church. Teacher smiled and asked, what makes you think that? The little boy said, well, every Sunday my dad says, well, God showed up. And look, I've heard that in churches for years. After we have a good service or people are saved or something tremendous happens. Well, God showed up. Sometimes we unintentionally think of God that way. Like he only shows up in certain places or certain times. The wonderful truth about the Holy Spirit is this. If you belong to Christ, he didn't just show up at church or Bible study. He came with you. Understand that. He didn't, you know, we had a great service Sunday, so all of us, oh, the Holy Spirit showed up. No. You brought him with you. He was already there. He came with you. So let's dig into this. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. One of the greatest misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit in Christianity, and some people in Christianity, is they think it's some kind of spiritual force. Almost like spiritual electricity. Or like good vibes, dude. Like the Holy Spirit is like good vibes. Scripture never speaks of him that way. Look at John 14. 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Notice that advocate is capitalized because it's referring to the Holy Spirit. Another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Very important. Very important the wording there. Notice what Jesus calls him, an advocate, not another force, not another influence. The truth is the Holy Spirit is a comforter, a helper, a person. The key truth here is that the Holy Spirit thinks. He speaks. He teaches. He loves. He can be grieved. Only a person can do those things. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Wait, what? Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You can't grieve electricity. You can't grieve gravity. You can only grieve someone who loves you. You can't. I could be walking down the road. I can't grieve somebody that doesn't know me. They have to know me for me to grieve them. Now, they may not like me. They may think I'm stupid. But they're grieved. Imagine introducing your wife or your husband by saying, oh, this is my energy. That's not going to go well. People are persons, not forces. The Holy Spirit isn't some mysterious spiritual power floating through the universe. He is the third person of the Trinity. Christian life is not about trying to tap into a force. May the force be with you. No. We're not trying to tap into a force. It's about walking in relationship with God Himself. The Holy Spirit is God. The Apostles' Creed places belief in the Holy Spirit alongside belief in the Father, belief in the Holy Spirit. I mean, and Jesus. Why? Because he's fully God. Look at Acts chapter 5. Now, Jeremiah preached on this during our Acts series, and it was really good. This was one of the bloodier, more death-filled sermons. That sermon series has probably more death than any other sermon series we've taught at Remnant. So then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was you also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. And then Ananias died. Then his wife Sapphira came in, and she repeated the lie, and she died. To lie to the Holy Spirit is to lie to God, because the Holy Spirit is God. Suppose somebody asks you, who lives in your house? You say, my wife, my children, my dog. You wouldn't say, oh, and there's also electricity and gas. Electricity is present, but it isn't part of the family. The Holy Spirit isn't simply God's power operating. He is God Himself dwelling with His people. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus came to earth, lived as a person so that He could take our place. And then Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be in you. The Holy Spirit deserves our worship, our obedience, and our trust. The Holy Spirit lives within every believer. This is one of the greatest blessings of the New Testament, the New Covenant. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. I love that. Think about that. The same God whose glory filled the temple now lives in His people. Imagine telling Moses, one day there won't be a tabernacle. There won't even be a temple. Instead, God Himself will live inside ordinary believers. Moses would look at you and said, no, that's not the way it's going to work. You got to have the tabernacle and you got to go do sacrifices and only the priest can go into the Holy of Holies and have access to God. And we'd say, hey, Moses, love you, buddy, but things have changed. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus. And because of Him, we are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, works and lives in us. Wow. God is not merely with you. He's in you. I just thought of those Gatorade commercials. You know where they say, is it in you? And they show, they're black and white people. They're filmed in black and white. But you see like the little orange flecks of Gatorade coming out of their pores like sweat. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Some Christians act like God lives several galaxies away. They constantly look toward heaven saying, Lord, where are you? Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit's thinking, I'm literally living inside you. I was watching a TV program the other day and they're talking about this guy. Well, we need to get him. And he said, I'm right here. We're always looking for God. Oh, where is God? How come I can't? And the Holy Spirit says, dude, I'm right here. I'm inside you. You never enter a hospital alone. You never walk into a difficult meeting alone. You never stand beside a hospital bed alone. You never enter a funeral home alone. God is already there because He's already with you. Quit feeling alone. You've got the power, the love, the Spirit of the living God residing within you. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're alone all those times. So don't go to a hospital bed where somebody isn't a Christian and say, you know, the Holy Spirit is within you. No. Salvation is the key for this. Okay. Some of you may want to turn this off now. Chickens. Sissy lalas. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Yeah, we don't like that. Jerry, can you go back and talk about the hope and the love and all that stuff? Conviction. It's a big part of what the Holy Spirit does. John 16:8. And when He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Now here's what you need to know. Conviction is not condemnation. Those are two different things. And this is how you know when it's the Holy Spirit convicting you and the devil condemning you. See, condemnation says you're hopeless. Conviction says come home. Condemnation just makes you feel horrible about yourself and tells you that you're never going to make it and that nobody will love you, and oh, look what a stupid moron you are, and what a sinner you are. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, you've sinned, but Jesus is ready to forgive you. Come home. Totally different things. Think about the dashboard warning lights on your car. Nobody enjoys seeing one come up, especially not the check engine light. I've got a little tire inflation thing because one of my little TPS sensors in my car is off. It's like $150 to fix it. I know the tire's not low, so I just turn the little button off. Oh, yeah, good, thanks. But that light isn't your enemy. That check engine light, when it comes on, there's a reason. It's not your enemy. It's trying to save you from something much worse. The Holy Spirit works that way. When He convicts you, He's trying to protect you. When you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you and saying, hey, this is something that doesn't belong in your life, He's not saying what a crud you are. He's saying, look, I know you want to be closer to Jesus. This is keeping you from getting there. Don't ignore conviction. It's evidence that God still loves you enough to correct you. When I was coaching football or baseball or whatever, excuse me, I would tell the kids at one of the first practices, don't be upset if I'm yelling at you. If I'm yelling at you, it means that I see promise in you, I see potential in you, and I'm trying to get you to fix yourself. You need to worry when I quit yelling at you. Because if I quit yelling at you, I've given up. I've decided that I can't help you anymore. You're on your own. The Holy Spirit works with us to make us the person God wants us to be. Now, the Holy Spirit guides us. Romans 8:14, whoops. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We are what? We are led by the Spirit of God because we're God's children. God never intended for Christians to navigate life by themselves. A couple weeks ago, when I spoke at Remnant, I had that whole part about the GPS. Before GPS, we had these maps. You know, they'd fill up the hole in front of the car, and once you unfolded them, you couldn't fold them back, and you know, you had to look at them the right way. I said that I was in a car. I was not driving. I was not navigating. But I was in a car that went like, I don't remember, half an hour out of the way because they had the map upside down. It would take you another 45 minutes to try and figure out how to fold it up. Eventually, you just kind of like, well, it's close enough and it would fit, you know, slam it in the glove box. But see, the Holy Spirit doesn't just hand us direction. He travels with us. That map just, you know, if you had to know where you were to find out where you were going, or where you'd been to find and know where you're going to find out where you are. The Holy Spirit's not like that. The Holy Spirit is with us. He travels with us. So look, spend some time listening before you rush ahead, because God still leads His people. You're not alone. You're not lost. The Holy Spirit is guiding and directing if you let Him. Now, when I first got GPS, I was in Costa Mesa driving. Lynette was with me. I'm driving, and I said, you know, it's telling me to turn here, but I know it's better if I go straight. Well, I missed my turnoff because I didn't turn when the GPS said, and ended up down in Santa Ana. I had to double back to get back to Costa Mesa. Listen before you rush ahead, because God's still leading you. Next, the Holy Spirit empowers us. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You receive power. And then you'll be my witnesses. God didn't call us to be a witness and then say, oh, you're on your own. He says, no, I'm going to give you power. And that power is going to help you become a force. The Christian life cannot be lived through human effort alone. We just can't. We're not good enough. If we were good enough, we wouldn't need Jesus to die for us. Trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit is like trying to sail a boat without wind. You can row, you can strain, you can exhaust yourself, but you'll never travel the way God intended. Spirit supplies the power. So stop trying harder. Start depending more deeply. Quit trying to be, you know, Mr. Macho. I can do this. Look at how strong I am. Shut up. You're going to get your tail end kicked. I'd much rather be supplied with God's power. Because he's got more than I do. I know. Hard to believe. But it's true. The Holy Spirit produces... Right, that should say the Holy Spirit produces Christ-like character. I messed up. Say it with me. Just a well-oiled machine. It wouldn't be one of these Bible studies without something messing up. And you know, the worst part is I go through these and check them to make sure they're okay. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, one of my pet peeves, and I have many, these are not the fruits of the Spirit. This is the fruit. You don't get to say, well, I have love, joy, peace, I don't have patience. Now, I say that all the time. I don't have patience. But that doesn't let me off the hook because that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. So as I grow in all this, all these other aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I should be growing in patience as well. Because the truth is, the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. Fruit doesn't grow overnight. You don't plant an apple tree, you know, water it for a couple days, then come out and say, dude, where's the apples? It takes time. Develop slowly, patiently, quietly. Spiritual growth usually isn't dramatic. It's steady. You're going to grow. And part of that growth is tripping and falling. I've told you before, the physical act of a human being to walk, the physiological act, you launch your body forward, and as you step forward, your leg that goes in front catches you, and that propels you forward. That's why if you take a step and you trip on a branch or something, you fall because that leg wasn't there to catch you, but your body's already moving forward, but your leg's not there to catch you. We fall because we got tripped up. We need to be able to say, okay, I tripped, but I'm still growing. I'm still moving forward. Let's go. See, you walk along and one day you realize, I don't react the way I used to. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember a story about a longshoreman, and he was rough. Boy, he was rough. And as he went out of the docks one day, another longshoreman said something bad about his wife, and he beat the tar out of the guy. And as he's walking away, his knuckles are bloody. This guy's in a little lump there where he left him. As he's walking away, the devil came to him and said, see, you haven't changed one bit. Longshoreman thought for a second and said, yeah, I've changed a lot. I actually feel bad for beating him up. Okay. Brian Craig Larson was a pastor in the inner city of Chicago, and he had a gang member come to him one time and say, hey, pastor, this Jesus stuff really works. I only shot at like 3 people this week. And Larson said, yeah, I didn't know whether to tell him, well, you shouldn't shoot at anybody, or to say, hey, glad you're cutting down. Sometimes it takes a while to work the us out of us and let the Holy Spirit take all that over. Don't become discouraged because growth feels slow. Healthy things grow gradually. I've told you before, I don't have a neck. Very, very small. But I read this, and this is true, that a neck is the last thing on a baby to develop. So I'm hoping I'm like really a late bloomer. Probably not. Healthy things grow gradually. Look, sometimes you're going to feel like your spiritual walk is going is like slogging through molasses. Keep slogging. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't stand there and say, well, I don't know what to do. No. Let the Holy Spirit keep pushing you forward. Because the fruit of the Spirit will win out. All right. Let's bring it all together. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That means He is a person, He is God, and He lives within believers. He convicts, He guides, He empowers, He transforms. Famous evangelist D.L. Moody was once asked why he continually spoke about being filled with the Holy Spirit. My grandpa used to talk about that a lot. I need a new filling of the Holy Spirit. They said, why are you always talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit? And he said, because I leak. I leak. The Holy Spirit fills me up and I got leaks. I got places where I don't do so well. See, every one of us leaks. We become discouraged. We become tired. We become distracted. We need the Holy Spirit's continual work in our lives. Look, here's the bottom line. The Holy Spirit isn't merely someone you learn about. He's someone you walk with. Don't miss that point. I'm not just learning about the Holy Spirit. He's walking with me. So this week, here's your challenge. Before you make a decision, pray. You ready for the next one? Before you react, listen. And before you rely on your own strength, ask for His. So before you make a decision, before you've decided what you're going to do, I got a lot of plates spinning right now. I got two or three things that are maybe going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen yet. I don't know how it's all going. But I know that I'm waiting for God to show me what to do. And in the meantime, I'm praying, okay, God, I'm not making a decision until You tell me what to do. Before you react to your spouse or somebody at work or anything that's going on, listen. What are you listening for? You're listening to the Holy Spirit saying, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to respond to this. Or if you do have to respond to it, here's a loving, godly, Christ-like way to do it. And please, before you rely on your own strength, ask for God's strength. Before you try and do it your own self, I'm all muscly, I could do it. Man, just shut up. Just let God do it. Ask for God's strength. God, I can't do this on my own, but I know You can. The same Spirit who empowered the apostles, who strengthened the early church, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in every believer today. Think about that. Peter, Paul, James, John, all the people you read about in the New Testament, that same Spirit lives in you. They didn't have anything you don't have. That same Holy Spirit lives within you. The Holy Spirit that allowed them to change their known world in their lifetime will certainly allow you to change your whole neighborhood. He lives within every believer today. That's remarkable. That's incredible. If that doesn't blow your mind, it'll sprain your brain. Here's some discussion questions for you. Buckle up, buttercup. Why is it important to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person rather than merely a force? You know, Star Wars always talked about the force. Use the force, Luke. They never talk about him being a person. Mm-hmm. How have you experienced God's guidance in your life? Let me ask another question. It's not on your paper. How many times have you gone ahead of God's guidance and then paid the price? Ow. What's the difference between conviction and condemnation? You need to know this. You need to take this into your heart right now, because the devil will convict you, will condemn you all the time, but the Holy Spirit will convict you. One is powerful and positive. The other is harsh and destructive. In what area of your life do you most need the Spirit's power today? And then finally, what fruit of the Spirit have you seen God developing in your life recently? Which part of the fruit of the Spirit is God really hammering you with? Saying, you know, you need to be better at this. I mean, for me, obviously, patience. I always talk about patience, but it's true. And if you don't know, maybe you need to get with God and talk about it. Next week, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. I'm going to talk about the church, why it's important, and what it means to us. And I think you may learn some stuff there. I hope. I mean, not trying to waste your time. Look, the Holy Spirit is an amazing, amazing person to have in your life. And if you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you. The question is, are you listening? The Holy Spirit is trying to guide and direct you. Are you listening? He's trying to convict you. Are you listening? He's trying to show God's love to you on a more intimate basis than you ever thought possible. Are you listening? Got a lot to work on. I told you this would be good. You may not have liked all of it, but it's good for you. All right. Love you. See you guys next week. Bye.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You've been